Welcome back to In the Moment. Hugh Weber is with us again this Tuesday. He is the host and creator of the Potluck Society. That's a podcast, and you can download the podcast from iTunes or wherever else you find your favorite listening, or you can listen to it online at listen.sdpb.org. New episodes posted every week, and you can go back and listen to all the other episodes from the past as we move further into the year. Hugh, welcome back.
It is great to be back.
How many podcasts are there now? How many episodes?
Oh, I think we're nearing 10. I've had a few too many potlucks. I think I should have called this the Workout Society or the Gym Society or something. A few too many Scotch rhubarbs.
All right. How has it changed as you sort of have watched it evolve for people who are part of that creative process of making something out of nothing? What's it been like for you?
Yeah, I think this is a situation where I expected to come in and it would be more like a fixed menu, where I would come in and it would have a structure and it would have a system to it and a little bit of a formula in its worst way. And really, it has embraced, and I say this both in terms of the conversations I've had, but also the people I've sat down with. It is a potluck. You don't know who's going to bring the fluff salad and who might bring, the good buns or go with the cheap buns. I mean, you never know what you're going to get. And I think that this week was one of those weeks that kind of was an unexpected conversation.
All right. So Gino Church, and I remember not too long ago, you said you got to talk to Gino Church, and we did. And he was
That's
wonderful.
Right.
Tell me, how far back do you and Gino Church go?
Yeah, so Gino and I go back more or less about 8 years. Mm-hmm. So when I was starting ODA just a little over 8 years ago, one of the first books I tripped across that really just convinced me that this kind of catalytic movement mindset rather than just a marketing mindset had a space in this region. Gino's the creative director at Brains on Fire, and so we brought one of his colleagues, Spike Jones, to the very first ODA. We later brought Robin, the CEO of the firm, Robin Phillips, to ODA, and then Gino has actually come three times, most recently late last year when he spoke with you.
Mm-hmm.
But Gino's in this interesting transition, and this conversation, this episode of Potluck Society is maybe a little more vulnerable and a little more free-flowing. He found out early last year that he was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. He'd always been a very active, very fit person, and I think that this diagnosis was pretty disruptive for him. I know it was. And so he came to South Dakota at the end of the year, kind of as he was just getting his feet underneath him health-wise and was ready to reemerge, and it became a really catalytic experience for him. So the conversation we're going to have today is a little different. It's not, it's more of a not nowhere conversation. It's more of a searcher and a seeker conversation. But Gino's always been this kind of idea guy, freeform conversations. But it was clear from the beginning of our call a couple weeks ago that he was in a genuinely reflective mood.
Last year was an interesting year for me, and it's kind of what I said in that note that. A lot of really to be a bad year in terms of personally for me of having a diagnosis and going through a tremendous adjustment of I guess my physical and mental.
Last year, Gina was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. By his own estimation, this diagnosis rocked his world.
Kind of reach into yourself and think about, your purpose and what makes you passionate, what gets you going. And, when you go through a period like that, you kind of start reflecting on it. And I just was blessed to have some opportunities that, I don't know, that made me feel alive and think. And, and going out there, getting to speak and thinking about cultural things that aren't where I walk every day. As people, we don't do that enough. We just don't.
When Gino says going out there, he means Rapid City. He joined us last fall for the Rapid City ODA event after previous ODA events in Sioux Falls and Bismarck. I mentioned to him that after such a disruptive year, either this year, 2017, would be a year of transition or perhaps even transformation.
That's true. I think, I think for me, I think on two fronts, it is a huge transformation year. As I'm kind of looking at it as that this year is a is the next phase in my life as a person and also as a career, and what am I trying to do here? And I really leaned on the inspiration that I got. I guess I kind of went out to Rapid City to go out and speak in terms of sharing wisdom and inspiration, and trying to think and in a provocative way inspire people to invest in themselves and the people around them to create change. And it's amazing. I got an insight to, okay, maybe you need to change yourself, and what are you going to do in 2017? And I think, I've been taking that time, and I'm just starting to get there, but I've been, looking at, this whole concept that you and I heard out there talking to the director of the Crazy Horse Memorial of the concept of greatness, and what I've been calling the call to greatness.
During Gino's most recent visit, we had the opportunity to spend some time with Lori Beckvar, President and Chief Operating Officer of the Crazy Horse Memorial Foundation. She brought to the table this idea of greatness.
I think more people need to feel that there's some things that they're adding value to in this world. And that's what I think the idea of call to greatness is that me being great is not me getting accolades. My call to greatness is to help the greater good for education, for teaching, for being a defender of childhood, to be a force of love, to make sure that kids get that chance to have that special moment of childhood and not have it be robbed by abuse and neglect. I want that to be my call to greatness. That's the greatness. It's not me getting credit for it. And then I hope that that's what other people want, and that's what I've been inspired by going to the Dakotas.
Gino Church, Hugh Weber, if you're just tuning in, that's Gino Church talking with Hugh Weber as part of the Potluck Society podcast. And just giving that little space to breathe, Hugh. Wow, that's a Gino Church that's been through some stuff and is really thinking about big picture things.
Well, I think the honesty, and he's always been such a charming guy, but I think the honesty in this call comes from some life transitions, and we hit those maybe rocky patches, and we reevaluate some things. And he goes on in the episode to talk kind of at length that it's no more about wanting to just sell a marketing campaign, even a really well-intentioned marketing campaign for a good cause. He wants to know that it works. He kind of goes on a bit of a rant. Now, Gino really loves pirates, and he cursed like a sailor, so there was some creative editing that happened in this episode. But he just wants to know that it works, because I think that means that it's meaningful. And when these stories start out at an origin point of something really genuinely important, like the abuse of children or a big dream for a corporate client or communities that just want to improve themselves, then he feels I think he feels even more of a responsibility now to genuinely make an impact through those stories.
You don't always hear people who talk about word of mouth marketing and marketing in general just suddenly go into a conversation about preventing child abuse and not needing to get credit for anything, just making that kind of difference. Were you with him at Crazy Horse and the museum there, and part of this conversation about a call to greatness?
Yeah, I was. It was really one of the more humbling conversations I've had the fortune of being a part of. Through ODA, since I came back to the region in 2006, I think that whole team from beginning to end feels that obligation to not elevate themselves, not to make themselves great, but to do something literally monumental, and to do so from a genuine spirit of wanting to recognize the cultural traditions of the people that have been here for generations and wanting to make a mark that's equally as significant. But I'll say that, he sat down with the folks at Crazy Horse, but he also sat down and had some extraordinary conversations with, Mary Bordeaux and Peter Strong at Racing Magpie, a conversation with Kimberly Tilson Braveheart about Tonka Bar. I mean, like, I think Gino really just embraced what this region is. And I talk about it a lot. And sometimes it might seem like a little bit of hype or a little bit of regional pride showmanship. But this space is vast, both in its landscape and geography, but also the room for possibility. And I think someone like Gino comes and is immediately intoxicated by that. After the event that day, he also had the opportunity to sit down with some business leaders from the community. Rapid City is going through a long-term visioning process. And I think that conversation in a small town, you know, smaller town cafe like Rapid City, really reminded him of the value of things that are real, of this idea of authenticity.
Just sitting there at that breakfast and talking to those folks about the issues of trying to build that community inside of the community there for all, and in the delicate balance of doing that, it would take so much longer to get down to those types of conversations in the bigger cities.
Yeah.
And so the I guess the story there is, I don't know, there's a lot you could do. I think for me, I guess my learning is slow down and be present and pay close attention to what people are doing and how it relates. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think we unconsciously stereotype people that are not in a city. We get that being from South Carolina, same thing. Yeah. That we're not as culturally significant. The value of real in a way, there's more clarity. Sometimes when you're in bigger cities, there's so much going on that you get lusty for the glitz and you miss authenticity and reality. But it was great for me. This last one really, you know, was a great, I was starting to feel healthier and it was a great time for me spiritually to come out, and I got so much more than I could have ever have given, and I just really appreciate it. Yeah, awesome. Just really, really do.
Hugh, the value of real.
Yeah. Right. Something? Like, I think sometimes we miss it because it's our everyday. I think the long drives, the kind of mixing pot that so many of our communities are, bridge communities of many different cultures. And I think we miss it kind of in the minutia and day to day. And I think it takes someone sometimes with an outside set of eyes to say, this is something extraordinary.
Right.
I think the other side of it is Gino has spent a lot of years as an extremely fast paced, high profile marketing professional. And I think sometimes it's our own inertia that just needs to kind of come to a more manageable and sustainable place in order to see some of those things as well. If he had been cruising through here at the pace he was 2 years ago and kind of saw us via the interstate at, you know, 80 miles an hour, I'm not sure he would have seen the same things either. So okay. It was the right time and place for everyone.
So South Dakota, so Gino Church brings something to South Dakota, but really it's the state and the region that brings something to him that he gets to take with as well.
Well, I think that's been one of the big lessons of ODA, is that it has done some things. And ODA, just for those that might not know, it was just a series of connections and celebrations of events and content of which the Potluck Society kind of grows up out of. But this idea that ODA was served this region in connecting people and reminding them what was great, but also brought in outside voices that also saw that. You know, I think back to someone like Ellen McGirt, and Ellen was just named one of the 100 woke African American women in the country, and she came to the second or third ODA, and it developed this deep long term relationship with the region. You know, and she lives in St. Louis and works for Fortune magazine and bounced back and forth to New York. but South Dakota remains a part of her story now as well. And for Gino and dozens of others that have made the trip out here to the prairie, I think there's a watershed moment. I think mm-hmm. Gino looks back now 4 or 5 months later and sees that as a pivotal moment in his own path. And I think right. that'll be there years from now.
All right, we got a couple extra minutes, Hugh, so I'm going to ask the pirate question. What is his deal with pirates?
So,
what do you know?
this is what I know, is that when Gino was a small child, his grandparents, I believe it was, did what many of us parents do. I think part of it is to pass the time and amuse ourselves, and the other part is to create mythology for a family. But they told him that he was a descendant, I believe it was, of Blackbeard. And okay. so poor young Gino went about his life telling his friends and anyone that would listen that, in fact, he was a descendant of the great pirate, until he found out years later this was completely made up. This was not mythology tied to ancestry. This was just genuinely
just a
myth.
Story, yeah.
And I think that planted the seed for Gino of this idea of what piratry meant. And he's done a ton of study. I mean, he's caught up in the popular culture side, but also the academic side of the democracies that existed on pirate ships, that everyone contributed. But in the same way, if you were part of a contributing part of a pirate crew, if you were to lose a limb or somehow not be able to continue on, you were supported in a sort of social security, social safety net way and got your portion of the plunder, even if you were no longer able of participating. He liked the idea of full contribution. He talks at length about how marketing now, if we get 0.01% engagement on social media or digital, we throw our arms up and demand a bonus because we've hit something extraordinary. And he said pirates just wouldn't have survived if not for 100% participation. And so I think he sees it as one of these kind of microcultures that has existed historically, that has both the vibrancy of the, you know, the flags and the banners and the buntings and the swords, but also some really nuts and bolts elements of community.
So last time I talked to him, he was working on a book and it had sort of that pirate theme. Did he put that on hold because of the current transition, or is that was it released and did I miss it?
Yeah, so this is interesting. So the Pirates for Good is yeah. Something that he's working on and I think is something that's really meaningful for him. But he has really chosen to embrace this idea of a call for greatness as the core theme of the book. And
wow.
He continues to reach back out. I actually have a call with him in the next week to talk about other aspects of the Dakotas and this region and connect him to other voices. His hope is it will be pirate thematically, but from an ethos and spirit and culture and mantra, it'll be a call for greatness, which is right here from the prairies of South Dakota.
Wow. All right. What's the action antidote in this week's podcast? I haven't listened yet. I'll be tuning in on the way home, on the drive home today.
So it went live. It is a bit of a reoccurring theme as action antidotes go, but it's something that has a twist this week. A couple weeks ago, actually a little over a month ago, I asked it, anyone living in a community that had a weekly newspaper should send me a copy.
Right.
And I ended up with a couple dozen from around the 8 or 10 state region here. And it just dawned on me that that's where everyday life happens for so many of us in smaller communities and in communities of South Dakota and beyond. And so the action antidote this week was to find a copy of a weekly newspaper, whether someone sends it to you or you catch it at a gas station on a drive somewhere, and find someone in that newspaper that you think is, despite their ordinariness, is someone that you think is extraordinary, and to share on social media or even write them a letter. And I make the offer at the end that if you have no weekly newspapers within your reach, drop me a line because I have a mountain of them and we'll gladly send you a name and an address to reach out to.
What did you find in those newspapers? A gold mine there waiting for you.
I think so much of life happens in the social column, the stuff that, you know, the locals, the stuff that doesn't ever reach the front page of the newspaper and certainly wouldn't reach, you know, broadcast news or television. It's the folks that, you know, put in the time. Maybe they've have perfect attendance at the school, or they've, you know, worked somewhere for 35 years and are retiring. There's someone that invited a group of neighbors over for some, you know, pot roast, or there's someone raising money for someone that has cancer. I'll also say there are some incredibly sharp and witty headline writers in South Dakota's weekly newspapers. Things right. that I won't say on the air because they're even a little bit bawdy. But there's some people having a heck of a lot of fun writing headlines and writing copy for mm-hmm. weekly newspapers in the rural communities around the region.
Having a good time doing good work. Hugh Weber, thank you so much for today. You're amazing. Potluck Society is a podcast. You can download it or listen to it. Listen.sdpb.org. We'll see you later, Hugh. See you next time.
I'll be back.